Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
And opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl and the Bod. It's Tuesday. Linda's on assignment, but wanted to be here today, but is out getting a horse, shot. Can you believe that? People start work so early. Good morning, everybody. Today is the 10th of May, 2022, and my very beloved mother-in-law's birthday. Oh. She's 89 today. You wish that you would have the energy that this woman has at any age. She is a wild and crazy lady. So happy birthday very much to Mom, to June Snook. It's 7:06 in the morning. News brought to you by our friends over at Shasta Regional Medical Center who will be in with us today. Healing starts here, right there at Shasta Regional Medical Center. And Jared's at the helm. Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
And any national day out there?
National Washington Day. The state, not the...
Washington Day. I used to live in Washington. Went to school there. Graduated from high school in Yakima, Washington. It was the apple capital of the United States. And now they raise hops, believe it or not. Yeah, and probably marijuana, because everybody grows marijuana. So, no, but tops. So, what's the weather look like?
Looks like we have a chance of showers today, and then it's going to be mostly clear with a high of 62, a low of 41. It's currently 41, by the way. Tomorrow is going to be sunny with a high of 72, low of 47. Looks like on Thursday we have a chance of showers, then partly cloudy with a high of 66, a low of 47. Friday is going to be mostly sunny with a high of 75, a low of 54. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high around 88, a low of 59. And Sunday, sunny with a high around 89 and a low of 59.
So it was going from 34 yesterday to 90. I love ready. Anyway, hey, the weather reports are brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's more than just the propane, my friends. All the propane comes out of like one tank someplace south. It's the customer service at Shasta Gas Propane. Excels in customer service, a family-owned business based out of Anderson, a veteran-owned business. They give discounts for seniors and veterans, and they treat their customers so well. Give them a call, 365-3793. And I'm here with Turtle Bay, and I got to do something none of you were able to do. Good morning, Sharon Clay.
Good morning,
and good morning, Janae Eastland. And Janae's with the sales and media and public
marketing
team. Marketing sounds better than sales, doesn't it?
depends on who you ask.
Okay. Sharon,
yes, sir,
allowed me to hold the newest baby at Turtle Bay. Tell about our baby.
It's the community's new baby, really.
Yeah.
And he is a rescue. He was found as an orphan. He was very, very young. He was, somebody kept him for a little bit. He got very used to people. He, when he went to rehab, he was an early baby, so he was too young. Oh, Carl just scared him. Oh my gosh. You know what happens when you scare this animal, Carl, right? Okay. He was too,
what I did is I snapped my fingers just to get him turned around so I could take a photo, and he jumped in the air.
Uh-huh.
It's like, you know, I would never do that in real life.
Yes, no. I realize that, because that would, when we tell everyone what it is, they're going to know why. He was too young. He was early in the season, and they didn't have any other babies that age. So there was no way to avoid him getting habituated to humans. And so he came to us. He is only 8 weeks old right now. He came to us 3 weeks ago.
Oh, my gosh.
He has quadrupled in size since we got him. He's growing very quickly. And he is going to be the newest love of the community, because this is a striped skunk kit.
This is a baby skunk, and let me tell you how adorable it is. But here's something that totally, totally surprised me. When I was holding, and they haven't named, well, the name hasn't been named yet. And when I was holding the skunk up, of course, on my chest up high, because you hold it just like a baby because they trust you, and, you know, you don't want them to fall. This little skunk smells so good. I thought you had given it a bath. I literally
know.
Thought you had given it a bath or something, and, you know, in some kind of shampoo, because he smells like flowers.
Yes, and actually Sweet Pea did too. They all smell so good.
And it reminds me of the Disney movie, and what did they call the skunk?
Flower.
Flower. And this little skunk smells like flowers.
Yes, and so it's one of the things we love to educate people about skunks, is that skunks don't smell badly. They don't have a bad odor. It's just their defensive that does. So they have a gland that they literally shoot that out at you, and that's what smells bad. But skunks don't smell bad. So that's the real important lesson for people about how wonderful skunks are.
Do they obviously his gland has been...
We removed his gland already. We did that over a week ago. He's 2 weeks ago now.
Doesn't seem to be bothering him at all.
He does not care. You would have just gotten it in the face a few minutes ago, though, I think.
What, when I snapped
my
fingers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He whipped around and showed you his rear. Yep,
he
that
did.
Bullseye.
He did.
Yeah.
And he goes, when that happens, watch Carl run.
But he doesn't have the ability. They actually, it's another thing people don't realize, is babies have just the ability to spray just as much as the adults do within about the first week of life.
Really?
They can spray.
Kind of like baby rattlesnakes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
They have the ability to...
give their venom.
Now, what's he eating right now?
Right now, I'm feeding him his fruit and veggie. They're omnivores, so these guys eat... In the wild, they eat lots and lots of grubs, you know, and insects in the ground. They eat lots of rodents and lizards. Then they eat any kind of... those are the opossums.
I'm sure
they eat them as they could.
Okay, opossums are the ones
opossums
that eat the ticks.
But these guys will eat a lot of vegetation as well.
Okay.
And so right now he's getting his fruit and veggie.
He is
he's chomping on a piece of apple right now.
Yeah.
He also gets mealworms, and he gets mice, and he gets a commercial diet that looks all like ground beef, but it's not. It's just a very good fortified meat for them, and that's what he gets. He was being bottle fed for the first few weeks, and he's kind of weaned himself. I started giving him the bottle, and he was like, I don't want that.
That's enough, Mom.
Give me meat.
Correct.
Well, we got him just 3 weeks ago, and he had no teeth yet. So that's teeth after just, that's 3 weeks of growth.
You know what?
This is micro-fencing him with teeth.
Yeah.
You know, they're wild. And because of that, when you look at, you know, and of course he's not a prey animal, but.
They are prey animals.
Well, okay, they are prey animals, but they also are, when you look at them, they get up quick. They are able to move quick. His teeth have come in quick to be able to protect himself. He would have been able at this age or even earlier to turn around and nail somebody.
Absolutely.
Or another animal coming at him.
Absolutely. Yeah. When he was found, I mean, he was already walking around with Mom, and he was only, like, maybe 3 weeks old. So they get out of the den and start being able to follow Mom pretty early. And then they wean very quickly, too. Most of the animals, like, you know, our foxes and stuff, they don't wean for months and months completely. These guys are weaned off of Mom after, like, 6 to 8 weeks. They're done. And then they're off just eating. So, but skunks are so important in the environment because of all that digging they do. They do a lot of digging. Uh-huh. One thing I have done already, look how long those nails are of his, those claws. Yeah. I've already trimmed them twice. So they grow very fast. And they dig, and it helps the soil.
If you go to our chat room, Jared took a photo of me with the little guy, I'm holding up there is not an old banana. That's his plaything. Yeah. It's like a cat or a dog would have for him to play with, and to show you his size.
He's little. And he just fell off my hands onto my arms.
And I warned you about that, didn't I? That he would do that to you, and he did it to me.
There you go.
He jumped off the table.
He jumped right off my hand, out of my lap.
Okay.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday at 8 in the morning. Come check out my music and the deep thought, and let me shatter your paradigm.
Let's give it a honey. Traders think they won, but them patriots coming. You fall for anything if you don't stand for something. Some people say it's time to fight, but it ain't about nothing else. And I only bout it, God came out of nothing else. Yes,
it's a little
what is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by our friends at Cornerstone Community Bank. 15 years at Cornerstone Community Bank. It's been here in Jefferson. It's got a state of mind. Run locally. Four branches.
Shasta County citizens advocating respect and the SEEK Center, in partnership with the California Department of Public Health, are having a free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, May 20th, from noon until 6 p.m. at the Faith Lutheran Church at 1590 Spruce Street in Anderson. All brands of COVID-19 vaccines will be available, including boosters. Kids 5 to 11 and youth 12 to 17 must be accompanied by parents or guardians for consent. Come in and get vaccinated and enjoy free food while organizers hand out gift cards to vaccine recipients. No appointment needed. There will also be a team of medical professionals on hand at this free COVID-19 vaccination clinic Friday, May 20th from noon until 6 p.m. at Faith Lutheran Church at 1590 Spruce Street in Anderson.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Are you new to crypto? It can leave you feeling unsure of what to do. Help is available. From getting started to securing your cryptos, you don't need to go it alone. Bitcoin 530 will take you by the hand to help you move forward with your crypto journey. Schedule a free consultation with Bitcoin 530 at bitcoin530.io or give them a call at 530-324-5175. That's bitcoin530.io.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Your talk radio with Carl and DeBock. Good morning. We're on 7 to 9 AM Monday through Friday, 7:21 in the morning here on the 10th of May. And this portion of the show brought to you by River Commons Senior Living, the premier retirement community here up in Northern California. It's not an assisted living facility. It's for active seniors, beautiful accommodations, gourmet chefs, transportation, activities. They got it all there at River Commons Senior Living. If you'd like to learn more and take a tour of River Commons, give Brian a call at 238-5981 and find out why the people there worry less and smile more. River Commons Senior Living. I'm here with Sharon Clay, who is the animal jefe, the El Supremo of the animal section over at Turtle Bay, and Janae Eastland.
Yeah, you got it.
Eastland, okay. Yeah. Who is in the marketing department. Now, something big's happening. We got...
Oh, my gosh. Animal shows start on Saturday.
Yeah, the animal shows start Friday. Or Saturday.
They open Saturday. We've got our little baby skunk here. Our baby from last year, Artemis, the baby fox we had in here last year. She's got a part in the show this year. She's amazing. So Walk of the Wild Side Animal Show is back. We've got new script. We have a few new animals this year in the show. We have a new red-tailed hawk. We have a new little falcon called a kestrel in the show. Artemis joined the lineup. It's just super fun. We have these birds called Tarakos from Africa in the show. It's going to be a blast. It starts on Saturday. It's every day but Mondays at 11 and 12 from now until the middle of August.
You need to update your website. You're missing a couple of these birds.
Oh, yes. Ah. Oh, the species
the
tarako, of
the list. What was it?
The Tarako? Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was just told that by the marketing director. He needed a list of that. So I am hurting myself over here. I'm fumbling with a skunk and stuff. So, I need to, get those new animals on there. So a few new ones. The Tarako is from Africa.
Yeah.
Super cool.
What's it look like?
It looks like a roadrunner. But brightly colored for the rainforest.
Wow.
So think about that.
Of course, you have the lorikeets. They're always there, and the lorikeets.
Yes, and the tarakos live in with the lorikeets.
Okay.
Yes.
So they don't eat nectar, though.
They don't, but they're berry eaters. They eat fruit. Okay. So people don't feed the tarakos.
Okay.
It's a different species, but that's good. You can show them that. That's a tarako right there.
Oh, okay. Yes. They're beautiful. You can't see that, but it's a green, it's a bright green bird with red eyes.
That's a different species. The one we have is a bright red crest.
Okay.
But it's all green like that. That's the bird we have.
Oh, yeah. Okay. But what you need to do is go down and see.
Yes, you do.
Come on down and see the animal show starting Saturday. And what else do we have?
Butterflies opens in June. Okay. So butterflies are back. June 18th through August 14th is the butterflies. And so we're super excited for those coming back.
If you have not been to the butterfly exhibit, you need to do that. Take the kids, take the grandkids, take your neighbors, and go down there and see this. It's wonderful. You can have them. They come up and will settle on your fingers. And you can watch that, and you can also buy a.
It's basically a feeding stick. It's like a sugar stick,
but for them. But you can also sponsor one and name it.
Yes.
When it's still in the whatever you call that.
It's in the enclosure box. So when they open up out of their chrysalis, and they eclosing. So they eclose, they come out of the chrysalis, and then they're hanging in the box until their wings dry, and then they get to go out into the house with the rest of the butterflies. And so you can purchase. And the kids could take them out of the box and they get to name them and set them into the butterfly house with the rest of the butterflies. Super fun.
It is.
Feeding is a blast. We started that last year. It's something so spectacular. So definitely the things that people need to come out and see.
Okay. Janae, it's your turn.
Yeah, we've moved to summer hours, heads up. So now we are open 7 days a week on weekdays from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. So we're no longer closed Monday and Tuesday. You can come any day of the week.
Okay, and masks are optional, of course.
Yeah.
Correct.
And we're never going to say you can't wear a mask, but they're optional. What else has got? King Tut.
King Tut is included with the mission. We get this question all the time. You get to go to Tut if you have a way into the museum with your membership or with a paid admission ticket.
Now, your admission A family admission is $90 for a whole year. That includes two adults and four children, not necessarily all your own. It could be your kids' friends that you bring in. And what a great event. To be able to go in and see King Tut. This exhibit is just, I mean, remarkable. Linda was in awe when she went through there of that. So.
It's pretty.
Amazing. So many things happening at Turtle Bay. It's getting to be that time of the year again. Open 7 days a week. Animal shows are starting. And if you've not been to an animal show, my friends, you need to go. If nothing else is to see which one of them says, not today.
That's exactly right, Carl. You've seen the show enough if that's what your takeaway is, for sure. Our animals are all trained with what we call choice and control. So basically, they have the choice and the control of the whole situation, and we basically go with it. So we train them, and we create an incredible, wonderful, choreographed, behaviors to show, and then they come out and do whatever the heck they want. And so it's super funny when they do. I used to, years ago, I've been doing this a few years. And I used to get really stressed out when the animals messed up. Or sometimes not just messed up, but fly off and hang out in a tree for 10 minutes and stuff like that. And I used to just get really upset and really stressed.
I saw that happen was. It just said, they're doing is their natural behavior. It's just at a certain time.
Exactly. So everything we train is a natural behavior. And then we put it on cue. And the whole reason we want to show, we want people to see. So, you see National Geographic specials of a fox leaping up and going face first into the snow, but how many people have ever actually seen that live? But our red fox is trained to do it on cue, so you actually can see what that looks like live in front of you. But sometimes he decides to take off running through the playground, and so I used to get stressed out until I realized that the guests love it.
Oh, yeah.
It's like their favorite part. If you ask people what is your favorite part, it's exactly what you said. It's like, it's when the bird flew off the tree and just sat there looking at you, and you were begging it to come down.
And yes. You take it very well.
Take it in stride and keep
going.
Take
it in stride. Okay. What do you want people to remember? Because I know you have to leave and run to some other place. So,
like we said, show starts Saturday. Butterflies start in June. Come see King Tut. We've got our summer hours, and then this summer we've got pterosaurs coming, which is going to be an amazing summer exhibit that starts in June. So just so much happening. It's beautiful weather coming up, not today, but beautiful weather coming up. No place to be but Turtle Bay.
And this weekend's going to be beautiful. It's going to be a little warm on Sunday, but getting out there and being out in the sun and enjoying yourself and wearing your summer clothes and watching this.
Come fill up our theater.
I don't want you to feel bad. I don't want you to, I know you don't feel bad about it. Sometimes they don't do what they're supposed to. I went to a park one time. They had penguins. And they said, we've been working with this penguin, and this penguin's name was, I don't know, Fat Bob or something like that. And they probably changed the name, today. But this is what we've been able to train Bob to do in 5 years. Bob walked out. Turned around, walked back. That was it. And they all the trainers and attendants, they were all applauding because he walked out and turned around, walked back. That was it. Other penguins were doing things. This was it for him.
That's it.
But he still got his fish.
That's right. And the other thing for people to know is if they want to meet our little skunk kit, he will be out at the end of most shows. I can't promise every show, but he will be out at the end of most shows.
You need to come down and see this little skunk, and and smell it. No, you really do, because I will tell you he smells like flowers. And that's his natural smell.
Yeah, it's going to be like...
So you haven't bathed him or anything.
No, we have not bathed him. It's going to be like a wedding receiving line where it's going to hold the
smell.
You can smell
him. You can smell him in here right now. It's a very... I mean, it's like... it's very pleasant.
Yeah.
Okay. I got it on my hands. Maybe that's it. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, no. We really, really enjoy y'all coming in on the second Tuesday of each month. And... we'll see you, little skunky. He's upside down right now. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. Hey, if you're thinking about purchasing an electric car or renting an electric utility, there's rebates available that can help offset the cost of your vehicle and charging station. Visit cityofreading.org/EV for more information about local, state, and federal rebates available. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless pets.
Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance is now open at 3673 Eureka Way. Physical therapists Kevin Elo and Rachel Lang have a combined 29 years of experience in helping those who've suffered orthopedic injuries, strains, and sprains. Kevin has worked with the USA Gymnastics team, NFL Combine, and professional BMX riders. He's also helped members of Cirque du Soleil get back into action. Rachel works closely with seniors and is also a group fitness instructor and adept at returning people to an active lifestyle. Both Kevin and Rachel at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance are accepting new clients. Give them a call today, 530-533-5030. If you are in need of physical therapy, talk to the experts at Pro Rehab Physical Therapy and Sports Performance at 3673 Eureka Way. Call 530-533-5030. That's 530-533-5030 today.
One 100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane. It's been a while since I've cut a new radio spot, but I feel I need to issue a warning about energy prices during this fall-winter of 2021 and 22. Just as Obama said after he was elected, elections have consequences. This winter, our country will suffer some of the consequences of the last election. I'm not a politician, but I am a businessman, and many of the decisions of this current administration will drastically affect energy prices this winter and going forward. Already, we are experiencing record high propane costs and prices. Remember, our motto at Shasta Gas Propane is, our customers are warm friends. We will treat you like friends this winter and do our best to help you through this high-priced winter. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM, 605-4567 is our phone number, 7:36 in the morning, and this portion of the show brought to you by Patrick Gorman, attorney at law. Hey, if you're not getting the treatment for a work injury that you should, give Patrick Gorman a call for a free consultation. You can call him at 262-2168. Work injuries can be life-changing, and your insurance companies have lots of lawyers. Why shouldn't you have one that understands workers' comp and has been doing this for, he worked for an insurance company for a while, and then he came out of the insurance company and said, I'd rather be on the other side. Again, give him a call at 262-2168. You need somebody that's fighting for your rights to make sure that you're being taken care of. Okay, we're waiting for Scott Seaton from the North State Symphony to give us a call. But there's so many weird things happening out there. Have you been looking at this thing where that jailer escaped, took one of the inmates, he was like 6'9", took him out like for a medical appointment that he didn't have, and they just escaped. Did you see that?
I did hear about it, and I just heard they got caught yesterday.
Well, they got caught yesterday. They were chasing them. The car overturned, and the woman, the deputy, killed herself, it appears, in the while she was, you know, after the car stopped, she took her gun. And this is what I've read, apparently killed herself, or shot herself, and she died. The guy's still alive. But they caught them. Here's something else that, I mean, there's so many weird things happening out there. But this one right here, Rhode Island parents, a Michigan man who left his car at a dealership for an oil change and tire rotation is being sued after his vehicle was involved in the death of one of the dealership's employees. It appears that one of the dealership's employees it had a clutch on. It was a manual transmission. And after they changed the oil, they started the engine, and they wanted to see if there was any oil leaks. That makes sense. But somehow the 19-year-old lube technician, the vehicle lurched forward because he was unfamiliar with the clutch, and it pinned and killed a 42-year-old employee. So there's all types of weird state laws on this, and because the guy that's suing for the man that died, he didn't know how to drive the vehicle's manual transmission. He did not have a license. The attorney said the dealership cannot be sued because of a legal standard preventing an employee from suing their bosses for negligence, which in this case would be the hiring of someone who should not have been driving. And so they end up suing the guy that owns the car. Now, the judge did do this. He indemnified the guy. And he said he ordered the Rochester Jeep Dodge dealership where the incident occurred to indemnify Diaz Navarro, who is the owner of the car, if he's found liable of negligence. But you would think that if you give your vehicle to a to get the oil changed, or if you give it to a valet at, you know, to have it valet parked, and he turns around and he leaves and he hits somebody and kills them, that you're being held for negligence because you lent your car to that business. Is that amazing or what? It is to me how that could happen. So we're going to take an early break here and get ready for our next segment. We'll be right back after these messages.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
Everyone should feel safe in Shasta County, period. This is Baron Browning. Being a father and a Marine, and the Mayor of Anderson has taught me that effective leadership comes from the willingness to put your own agenda aside and communicate with everyone. The people of Anderson did just that, and together we've made it one of the greatest and safest communities to live in. Let's make sure that all of our public safety personnel are not hamstrung with low funding and staffing by providing them the resources needed to keep our community safe. Vote Baron Browning for Shasta County Supervisor, District 5.
Paid for by the committee to elect Baron Browning for Supervisor 2022.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Axiom Repertory Theater presents live on stage, Mel Brooks' madcap comedy, Young Frankenstein.
If you're blue and you don't know where to go to, why don't you go where fashion sits?
slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Today, the 10th of May, it's 2022. 40 degrees out there, partly sunny. Looks like it could be a decent day. We may get some rain later. This portion of the show brought to you by Maxwell Insurance and Financial. Judy Maxwell has built her business, so she has two separate divisions, one for insurance and one for financial management. And if you're looking for a second opinion on a retirement plan or a 401k, is your money going to last as long as you do? You probably want a second opinion on this, and for a free review and evaluation, give Judy's offices a call at 221-0441. Judy Maxwell is a fine person. She is a woman of high integrity, and we have insurance with Judy. And I can totally recommend you giving her a call on any insurance or financial needs. On the phone is Scott Seaton. Scott, good morning.
Morning, Carl.
Hey, I'm just chock full of people for this week. Would love to have you on, but at least you could call in. Tell us what's going on.
Absolutely. Well, we have our huge season finale coming up this Saturday night at 7:30 in the Cascade Theater. So we're very excited to finally present this concert that is 2 years delayed now. This monumental Ninth Symphony of Beethoven, which, you know, when he wrote it near the end of his life, he was pretty much completely deaf. And, you know, the fact that he pushed through, persevered against all odds, and wrote this epic piece about, you know, community and brotherhood and coming together and joy, which, you know, all themes that resonate so deeply now, especially within, you know, our communities and the world we're living. So, We're very excited to finally get there.
Well, you know what? It's been a tussle, hasn't it?
it certainly has.
Okay, now this was his the final complete symphony by Ludwig van Beethoven, and he did it between 1822 and 1824. Isn't it amazing to me that great music is great music, that whether it's in 1822 or 2022.
Yeah, it's you know, music that stands the test of time, and he certainly has.
So tell us a little bit about how you're going to do this.
So this is, you know, a concert that's been so long in the making now, and, you know, we started the season with seven musicians. Seven. Because we didn't know if we would be able to give live concerts, if we'd have to go and give virtual concerts again. So every concert this season has been structured to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we went from seven musicians to 20 in November to 40 in February. And finally, we're going, you know, combined orchestra and chorus and soloists from all over the state of California. And we're going to get 150.
You're breaking up. You're breaking up, Scott. Hello, Scott.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, you were breaking up then. You were telling us the composition of the of what was going to happen.
I was just going to say that you know, we're so happy to have the 65-piece orchestra on stage, the combined choruses of Simpson and Shasta College, so and then four wonderful solos, and this music, which, you know, even if you haven't heard it, if you don't know what it is, you have heard it. You know, this theme in the finale of the symphony is used. It's one of those themes that's used everywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, Freude, schöne Gatte, Funken, Tochter aus Elysium, wir betreten Feuertrunk. Yeah, so everyone knows the tune. Beethoven wrote a few memorable tunes. So this one has just lasted the past 190 years, which is a funny story, because we were rehearsing this on Saturday, and I found out that day that the premiere of this symphony was May 7th, 1824, exactly 198 years ago. So,
wow.
It was very special to be rehearsing the symphony that day.
Well, I tell you what, I'm trying to play this right now and I can't. For some reason it's playing, but I'm not hearing it, on my computer, to play that. But Jared, see if we can't pull that up, the final stanza, the finale. We're talking about the finale here, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
Anyway, okay, now, the people that you have that are in the symphony, Scott, are they all local, or are some of them coming in from all over, or what?
We're a very special orchestra in that we're not just the local symphony, but 50% of our musicians do come from Chico and Redding, so we do maintain that sort of that hometown feel. But we have musicians that come from all over, including, you know, Sacramento, the Bay Area, Southern Oregon, sometimes Nevada, sometimes L.A. We have a percussionist from Tucson, Arizona. Our principal horn player comes from Memphis, Tennessee.
So
it's really quite a wide radius, and they come all this way because they really love being in the North State and playing for our amazing audiences and just feeling the energy that happens in those concert halls.
You know, the best part, okay, I shouldn't say the best part, but one of the top parts, top segments of the symphony is right at the beginning. When Scott comes out. Now, see, what time does it start? 7:30, right?
Yep, 7:30 on Saturday, yep.
Now, when do you come out?
I highly recommend. So there's a 6:30 p.m. pre-concert talk, which means for about half an hour, you're coming and you're getting a really detailed overview of all the music you're going to hear. And sometimes you get to meet the soloists and learn about them and really just have a lot of, like, sonic markers of things to listen for during the concert. And especially if you don't know some of the music, it really helps to better, you know, delve into what you're going to hear in the evening.
And I tell you what, it is wonderful to listen to this. You get such an insight into the music. You may be fortunate enough to meet some of the orchestra. You understand it. And I think when you understand the background and everything about it, you enjoy the music more. So I highly recommend coming in early.
And I will say, this particular pre-concert talk is going to be exciting because I'm bringing one of our musicians to chat with me a little bit. He's actually from Reading, Eric Whitmer, but he's now studying in Nashville, Tennessee at my alma mater, but he's still one of our percussionists, and he's also one of our board members, so he's very invested in the symphony. And what's funny about him is that his first live orchestra concert that he saw and that inspired him to really continue in music was my first concert as music director 7 years ago. So it's been quite a turnaround for him to first see the symphony and then become so involved in it, both playing in it and advocating for it as a board member. So come hear what he has to say about Beethoven as we chat.
Well, now you said he's going to school in Nashville, and you did too. Where did you go to school at?
He's going to Vanderbilt right now, which is my alma mater as well. It's where I did my undergraduate degree. Yeah.
Dude, next time we're in town, we're going to talk about that. having graduated from that, you know, that institution also. Now, I'm going to, now, Beethoven was almost deaf by the time he did this. How did he do it? I mean, was there, what kind of techniques did he use to be able to get such a wonderful, wonderful, piece of music or a whole symphony out of this?
You know, he was deaf, but in, you know, especially in his later years, you know, he had so much music swarming around in his head and in his being that even though he couldn't hear and associate with the outside world, he still had his internal self that he wanted to project outwards. And so he, you know, he knew the notes, he knew the tempos, and he put them all together. And, you know, there's a funny story about the premiere. So he insisted on being one of the quote-unquote conductors for this first concert of his Ninth Symphony. And so when it was happening, there was actually two conductors. He was conducting, but only in the most basic sense of what you would consider conducting. And the actual conductor, you know, led the musicians because he could hear them and adjust to them and adapt to them. But when the symphony ended, you know, there was just rapturous applause. Everyone loved it. I mean, it was just an experience not to be missed. And then they were applauding, but Beethoven, because he couldn't hear what the musicians had just done, he was still conducting because in his head, the music was still happening. And so one of the soloists had to nudge his arm and turn him around to face the audience so that he could see, you know, how wildly receptive they were to what they had just heard.
Now, I may know something you don't know about
this.
Oh,
yeah? What is that?
What was the woman's name who took his arm and turned him around?
Oh, I knew it at one time, and it's one of those German names that I'm just terrible at remembering.
Carolyn Unger.
Yeah.
Who sang the contralto part at the first performance and is credited with turning Beethoven to face the applauding audience. But see, you knew that. And the way to explain it, that he was almost like a madman, throwing himself back and forth, his feet, his hands, and everything, you know, because he could hear it, just like you said. What a wonderful.
Absolutely.
I tell you, the ninth, and we're going to have how many people up there on the stage?
About 160.
160 people. It's going to be Saturday at 7:30. Wow. Okay. I may just have to. You know what? The last symphony of the season, Beethoven's Ninth. I have to be here.
Yeah, and what's also great about this concert is we just did a little competition this past weekend called Beethoven Idol, where 2 years ago we had a big competition call, and we had 46 composers from all over the world submit for a chance to be played by the Norris State Symphony, and we narrowed it down through a committee to three finalists. And then we rehearsed little excerpts of these three pieces, and then we had our orchestra vote, and there was an audience, and they voted, and there was a virtual audience through YouTube, and they voted. And so we're going to feature one of those composers on this concert as well. And his name is Wesley Stormer, and he's from Australia. He lives in Sydney, and he created this great piece. It's a short piece called Fantasy for Orchestra. And so you're going to hear that at the beginning of the concert as well, along with an overture by a composer who was very popular when she was alive in Paris, but then kind of forgotten when she died. And her name is Louise Ferranc, and we're going to do her overture number 2. So it's a nice concert with, you know, lots of different variety in music, but of course the focus is absolutely Beethoven and this universal message that is embedded in his Ninth Symphony. So I hope everyone can come out and hear it.
Wow. It's going to be a great time, my friends. And where can you get tickets? Can you get them online, or do you have to just go down there and buy tickets?
Well, I think you can get them online at the Cascade Theater box office site. You can also go through northstatesymphony.org and be directed there. But, yeah, the Cascade box office can certainly help you out.
Over 100 people on stage, 3 different compositions, Scott Seaton leading it. I mean, this is a great night, and it'll hold you till next year.
Absolutely. Maybe. And we're very excited to present our season for next year sometime very soon. And there's a lot to look forward to.
Oh, man. I tell you what, Scott, you've done so much since you came in. And I remember that when they were looking at different people, that everybody that they were looking at cycled through here on the show. And it was, it was interesting. I mean, you looked like you were 12. You still look like you're 12.
I shave, I look younger.
Okay, that'll be this Saturday. Be there at 6:30, though. The concert starts at 7:30. Be there at 6:30 to hear the background and all the great tidbits that Scott provides to the audience. It will really enhance the whole symphony, all three different works that are being done there. So thanks so much for being with us, Scott.
Always a pleasure, Carl. Thanks for having me.
Remember, Carolyn Unger.
I won't forget it now.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Now, hey, when we come back from the news, we've got Shasta Regional Medical Center. We have, it looks like we've got part of the ambulance group that takes care of us, picks people up. They're going to join us also during this time frame. And we will be right back.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Metaphors have a way of holding the most truth in the least space. Orson Scott Card.
You're listening to Writing Roots, brought to you by Aspen House Publishing.
Welcome to Writing Roots. I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Essis.
Today we are talking about the use of similes and metaphors in writing. Before we do that, though, we want to remind you that we are doing an NaNoWriMo giveaway, so if you are participating, head to our website. On the very front page, on the right-hand side, you'll find a link to get more information about how to join us and enter to win copies of our books and some Writing Roots merch.
So similes and metaphors are one of those things that I, as an author and as a human being, have kicked and screamed at and stomped my feet and hated basically my entire life. I am a literalist. Anyone who knows me outside of this podcast can tell you that I will always interpret word for word exactly what you mean before I understand anything outside of that. So if he is a dog, I think he's got ears and a tail.
translates very literally when we're speaking to Lee. Which is funny because I think you use more metaphors in your writing than I do.
A lot of that is because I'm trying to convey physical movement in a way that makes sense and doesn't come across technical. If he's blocking a punch with both hands, swiping across in like a double windmill kind of thing, that doesn't make nearly as much sense as he swiped both of his hands across his vision like windshield wipers. Okay, you've got a clear image of what that looks like.
So that is one of the uses of similes and metaphors. In one line, you can convey an idea in a shorter amount of time than it would take to explain it literally.
So what is a simile? What is a metaphor?
A simile is a direct comparison. You use like or as. An example of a simile: she dipped the cookie in the coffee like a young boy might dip his toe into a lake before his first swim.
She's doing this like someone would do that. That is the key difference between a simile and a metaphor.
Metaphors will do the comparison as if it were real. So his arms were windshield wipers swiping across his vision, instead of his arms were like windshield wipers swiping across his vision.
And of course, this is the one I struggle with because I'm thinking he now has windshield wipers attached at the elbows. Not literally, but my first image of that moment is this.
And it all depends on your readers. There are very few people out there as literal as Lee. So you're usually good to go with similes, with metaphors, in the right scenarios.
And when you choose to use them, when you choose to apply this particular tool, is very indicative of your writing style. A lot of the authors that I follow, that I enjoy, are very literal. And if Lee Child suddenly started being very flowery in his writing, with lots of similes and metaphors, I would lose my interest in him as an author.
So there are a couple of times when the metaphor is more than just a single line or a single sentence or a single word.
If you are using more than one metaphor in your scene, they should connect in some way. Her blood turned to ice at the sight of the giant. Her blood thawed and then began to boil when the giant stepped on her sister. Maintaining that continuity between metaphors, at least within the same scene, helps understand. If you hop between metaphors, it gets very messy and very difficult to follow what you're doing, and it feels flowery. You're not in that moment.
And then beyond...
Hope is the 25,000 pounds of junk they gathered will prove much more valuable. It's part of a first-of-its-kind effort to learn more about the potential harm caused by plastics and other pollutants in the waters on the California-Nevada line.
More of these stories at townhall.com.
Greiner appeared for a brief hearing at a court outside Moscow, handcuffed, wearing an orange hoodie and holding her face down. Her attorney, Alexander Boykov, told the AP he thinks the relatively short extension indicates Greiner's case could go to trial soon. She's been in custody for nearly 3 months, detained at a Moscow airport in February after vape cartridges containing oil derived from cannabis were allegedly found in her luggage. Boykov was asked how Greiner is being treated. He says, we did not receive any complaints about the detention conditions from our client. Ned Price at the State Department says diplomats from the U.S. Embassy in Moscow spoke with Greiner.
More of these stories at townhall.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first, They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio. And now, Carl and Linda Bott. This is Free Fire Radio.
Good morning, and welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. We're on Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 AM. Our phone lines are 605-4567, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. You can hop into our chat room. And today, the 10th of May, it's 8:05 in the morning, and the news brought to you by Shasta Regional Medical Center, caring, compassion, community courage. Shasta Regional Medical Center, healing starts here. Jared, we got the weather.
Yeah, good morning. It's currently 43 degrees. Looks like we have a chance of showers today. Then it's going to become mostly clear with a high of 62, a low of 41. Tomorrow's going to be sunny with a high of 72, a low of 47. On Thursday, we have a chance of showers, then partly cloudy with a high of 66, a low of 47. On Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 75, a low of 54. And Saturday and Sunday, high around 88 and 89 with a high of 59.
Okay. The weather report's brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane, a veteran-owned business out of Anderson, a family-owned business that treats their customers exceptionally well. They give discounts for seniors and veterans. You can reach them at 365-3793. And I'm here with Casey Fatch, who is the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and you brought with you Mark Belden. Belden, I'm sorry. I'm trying to read that from here, and it reflected off that. Mark Belden, who is with the AMR.
Yes, I'm the operations manager with America Medical Response here in Reading.
Okay, so those are your guys we see racing around town.
Yes, and the red, white, and blue ambulances and the Shasta mm-hmm. Regional ambulances.
They refer to it as responding instead of racing.
Yes.
Although I'm sure there's a small race element.
Yes.
Okay, they are responding.
There you go.
With their ambulances, with their lights on, sirens
absolutely.
Going. And I don't understand. I saw one of them like that in the Burger King drive-thru with his lights and sirens going. Did it help? Does he get them through there faster?
Usually not.
Okay. I'm just wondering. I'm just kidding, Mark. Casey.
Yes.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning. How are you?
You know what? I got to hold a baby skunk today.
Nice.
Whose scent gland had been removed, so it made the whole day better.
Another check off your bucket list?
Another check off my bucket list. Right. Now, I will have to admit that was down. I didn't know it was on my bucket list, but, you know, I'm glad it happened. Shasta Regional Medical Center, what's going on with you all?
Well, you know, we're doing, we've got hospital week going on, and Mark is here because it's first responders week next week. And, you know, we celebrated a Nurses Day last Friday. We had a nice Cinco de Mayo lunch for them, and, you know, we're honoring the nurses. They're the largest group of professionals in the facility, so it's kind of something that we do for them separately outside of hospital week. You know, hospitals are pretty dynamic environments. I've got many professions, and if you had to honor every single profession and give them a week, you'd have to double up eventually and start doing two a week because there's just so many different types of different specialties there. So we decided to cram it all into 1 week, and so we got a bunch of festivities going on, and you know, it's good to honor the staff. They've been through a lot over the last couple of years, and you know, it's a hard profession to be in the first place, but when you throw a pandemic in the middle of it, it's one of those kind of events that makes you wonder whether, you know, you made the right choice. But you know, there's a bunch of them sticking it out with us, and we're all going to get through this together. It's probably something we're going to have to live with for a while, and you know, it is what it is. So it's fun to honor them. We're having food trucks coming in on one of the days this week for everybody to come down and have lunch. We've got about five different food trucks, and they really, really love that. We did it last year, and that seemed to be pretty well received. So,
well, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah. You know, and there's some really good food trucks around. So, you know, it's something we usually used to do a barbecue, but that's kind of hard on the dietary staff because they have to cook it. And so we thought, well, let's just let everybody participate and try to get some outside help. So.
Well, food trucks is a good idea.
I sampled some pretty good. You know, it's like that thing down at the park every Thursday night. We had some of those guys there, and it was exceptional. It was a lot of fun.
Well, I'd like to recommend Randy's Hot Dogs down there in front of the Yuba Street post office. It's a shout out to you, Randy.
Hard to refuse a good hot dog, though.
Yeah, it is. He has all beef hot dogs and all that kind of stuff. I told him he ought to start like tamales also.
There you go.
And he said, the problem with that is. It becomes a lot harder,
right.
You know. You got to keep them a certain temperature and all this. We're hot dogs. Once you know, you're cooking them and all that, you're okay. You mentioned something, you know, with the pandemic going on. My daughter's a nurse and went through all this, you know, the triple masking and all of these things.
Yeah.
It was tough. It was tough on medical personnel, but especially the nurses. It's amazing. How they you know, they came through this and all the things they did to help people, but it's still, I mean, it there's a certain level where they just probably have to take a step back and go, oh my God.
Yeah, you know, I think the thing that you kind of have to look at is, you know, let's talk about the. You know, the mask mandate, right?
Yeah.
So everybody in the hospital still has to wear the mask all day. And that's I don't know about you, but it's a CDC rule, it's a state rule, we have to do it. But I am not a fan of the mask. I don't want to wear a mask all day. It's annoying. It's restrictive. But you know, when you're up on the floors and you're doing nursing and you have no choice. And in some cases, you know, when you've got COVID positive patients that are isolated, you have to wear the PAPRs, which is those suits that you see. Like, remember that, was that Dustin Hoffman movie? What was
that? Outbreak.
The Outbreak?
Yeah. You know, hazmat suits.
And can you imagine walking around in that thing for 12 hours?
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, these people really have to tip your hat because they've, you know, and then the other thing is, just not knowing. I mean, at first when this came out, we didn't know how contagious it was. Could you bring it home to your family?
Yeah.
You know, could you get it and then give it to, you know, so and then the Marks people as well. Marks people, you know, they're the first responders. They roll up, you know, the only thing that they know is the address and the person that called and what maybe is the problem. Everything else is a variable.
Yes, it is.
You know, and that's like the emergency room. You know, at least these guys see the people before. They can give us, some relative information. But rolling up on something that, you know, it's just as stressful. And COVID made that just even more, you know, even more of a stress factor.
Yeah, with all the guidelines that were coming out, and they were changing so quickly.
Yep.
Our folks they really did roll with it.
Yeah.
And kudos to them for what they did.
Yeah.
They kind of, we've been able to back off on their mask mandate a little bit. They're only required to wear it during patient care.
Yeah.
So when they're just kind of out and about, just waiting for the next call, they can relax a little bit.
They don't have to drive around with the mask on, huh?
No, not anymore.
I see people driving around with mask on.
They're by themselves
in a car.
That is a little, yeah. I'm not judging. You know, wear the mask if you don't. Don't wear it if you, whatever you want to do. But it does seem a little funny.
A little
if
more.
If you're the only person in the car.
I tell Linda when she's.
I've seen that before.
When I tell Linda when she's driving, I said, honey, why don't you wear the mask? And she says, why? I said, well, because you and the photo cameras have got a first name or on a first name basis. This way, if they take a photo, they don't know it's you. And it's just an idea. We're going to take a quick break here. This portion of the show brought to you by Quick and Clean Car Wash, right down the street from us here. It's on the corner of Market and Eureka Way. It's next to Dutch Bros. And this is a great place to get your car washed. It's brushless. You're in and out in just a couple minutes. Does a great job of cleaning and waxing your car or truck. And then they've got very, very friendly people there. As you come out, they are using clean, soft towels and wipe down your vehicle. And they're very pleasant. This is a great place to get your car washed. Quick and clean car wash. If you buy five car wash coupons, you get one free. You buy 10, you get 3 free. Only at Quick and Clean. We'll be right back with Shasta Regional Medical Center.
The Active 2030 Club of Reading is excited to announce that the 14th Annual Sundial Film Festival is happening May 21st in downtown Reading at Riverfront Playhouse. The Sundial Film Festival will entertain and inspire you with its showcase of the talent and diversity of North State filmmakers. There will be an afternoon showing at 2 and an evening showing at 7. Seating is limited, so get your ticket for the in-person screening at sundialfilmfestival.com. Tickets are $10 and help support the Active 2030 Club of Reading and their children's programs. Enjoy creative films and support your community by going to sundialfilmfestival.com.
The YMCA is welcoming new members to come and enjoy the many choices the YMCA has to offer. The YMCA has a variety of fitness activities, including swimming, aqua aerobics, cardio, weights, group power classes, and booty yoga. There's over 100 classes to choose from. The YMCA is so much more than a gym. The Y is a community. Join the YMCA. 246-YMCA. Or go online to sfymca.org.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios at KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio with Carl Lindebaugh. Good morning, 8:19 in the morning here on the 10th of May, 40 degrees out there, partly sunny. This portion of the show brought to you by Four Winds Jewelry, the only full-service jewelry store in Reading. They have a great selection of jewelry at very fair prices. They're super people down there, Rebecca and Henry. It's locally owned, locally operated, located at 2225 Hilltop Drive right here in Reading. And I can just tell you that Linda's birthday is coming up, and she's already pointed out to me a couple of things that appeal to her. Four Winds Jewelry, open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 4. We're here with Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your ratings, national ratings.
No, that just came out today.
What?
This morning. Yep, the Lead Product Safety Score came out, and we got a second consecutive A.
Wow.
So some people will call that a trend. Some people need another A, but we're gonna maintain it. But we're certainly on the rise. We started when I started here, we were at a C, and we progressively, because it comes out twice a year, moved our way up to a B and B and B, and then got the A last fall, and then this spring just today the A just came out again.
A just came out one
just
more
came
time.
Out, so we're proud of it.
And by the way, my friends, these grades are for every hospital, and it's kind of like you walk into a restaurant, if it's got a D rating from the Department of Health, do you really want to eat there? But if you're...
Well, that's a really good point, Carl.
I mean, it is.
If hospitals had to post those on the window and you're walking in and you see you're going to have heart surgery and you see a D, I guarantee you would have a different conversation with your physician. You would turn around. I mean, because if you do it at a restaurant, you would think you would certainly do it at a place where you're about to have major surgery.
Yeah, that's what I would think. Well, so, but that's great. Congratulations to you, and all your staff. Because
a lot of hard work.
This is everybody working hard.
Yeah, it's a team sport, that's for sure.
And it's measured how?
Well, it's not a pay for play thing. It's measured off of publicly reported data and some of the data that we submit, but most of it's publicly reported, like to Medicare and Medicaid.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you can run from, but you can't hide from that stuff. That stuff isn't what it is. Everybody submits it the same and collects it the same. So this is a big win for us. We're real excited about it.
Well, that's great. That's super.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we were going to talk about emergency response.
Yeah. So, you know, I was doing a little, every time I go on the show, I have to, you know, do a little research so I don't look, you know, I don't need any more help looking, you know. Interestingly to find out, the first responder industry, you know, has always been there, but really not as organized until 1965 when the government, put this paper out, and it was basically did a study on accidents and cause of death in the U.S. And one of the findings was that in the first half of life, the largest cause of death was accidental injury, and that's the first time that that's ever been a finding in the United States, and it had a lot to do with the fact that everybody's in cars and, you know, modernized machinery and all that kind of stuff. And so one of the things that they found out about that after that was, you know, and they threw stats around in the paper, like, you know, more people died last year than in the whole Korean War, you know, from car accidents. And so then they really needed to kind of refine the emergency response and what we call pre-hospitalization now, because there was there weren't a lot of ambulance standardization, a lot of those type of things. And so a lot came out of that, and a lot happened in Mark's industry since, and I'll just pass it off to him.
Yeah, and going back on that government study, then the Wedworth-Townsend Act came out in California in the early 60s. I'm sorry, in the early 70s. And that's really where modern EMS has come from, is from the early 70s. Everything, they started focusing on trauma care, and that was a lot of the trauma care that we were taught was from the Vietnam War. And then when we start to see, you know, changes and improvements in trauma care, it's usually out of the military with commercially available tourniquets and quick clot and those types of things to help with that. That's where we see that. And then they added in the cardiac care and the other things that we do. And it just continually progressed. You know, paramedics have only been around since the early 70s. And so this field is really still in its infancy when you compare it to law enforcement and the fire department.
So I have to ask, you and I are about the same age. So we grew up watching emergency.
Oh, absolutely.
So, what are your thoughts on, was it accurate? Was it kind
of? Honestly, it's one of the reasons I do what I do today.
Is that right?
Because it's probably one of the most accurate pre-hospital care programs.
Wow.
Because
they
would go on the back pains that we go on.
All right.
You know, I watched emergency last night, and there was a gal stuck in the door that they had to get out. She wasn't injured, but, you know, they show the calls that always go on. But there is that last call of the show.
Right.
Has to have explosions.
Yeah.
And has to have entrapment.
That's like Adam 12. That's when they put the sirens on. Last call, they're going out doing their thing.
the difference, is there a difference between an EMT and a paramedic?
Yes. An EMT is a emergency medical technician,
mm-hmm.
and you can get your EMT certificate by taking a semester class at a community college. I went to Shasta College back in the day and got my EMT. And then to become a paramedic, it's almost more of a vocational type of education,
mm-hmm.
But it is put on by community colleges, technical instruction colleges, and those types of places. And that takes about 18 months to complete.
Okay, so what can an EMT do?
An EMT can do fairly basic stuff, bandaging, oxygen. They can actually give some medications. They can give epinephrine for anaphylaxis or allergic reaction. They can give aspirin.
Narcan.
They can give intranasal Narcan. So they can do a lot of the basic stuff to get things reversed.
Blood pressure,
vital signs, use an AED. So if the heart's not beating correctly and the shock is advised, they can shock the patient and continue
the defibrillator.
And they can put down an advanced airway.
Okay, yeah, they can push an airway down down their throat. Okay.
Do they do a lot of that under the direction of the hospital when they're talking to the radio?
A lot of that is done before we make contact with the base hospital.
That makes sense.
Because it needs to get done.
Right.
When I first started, it was
start the breathing, stop the bleeding.
You know, if you're knocking on the door, nobody answers. And you're like, wow.
Right. When I first started, it was all Mother May I. So we had to ask for every medication that we gave. We had to justify it on the radio with the doctor. And luckily that has changed to where there's only, I believe, one medication we have to contact a doctor for to give now.
So. Okay, so EMT. Now, so then the paramedic, then, what are some of the things they can do then?
All of the things an EMT can do, plus they can intubate and put a more advanced airway down. They can use a heart monitor, so they can interpret the rhythm, do 12-lead EKGs. They can do pacing, so if the person's heart is going too slow, they can actually make it speed up and improve their vital signs. And defibrillation, of course, and then about 20 different medications that we can give for various ailments.
Okay. So, and so that's after being an EMT and then 18 more months of education.
Yes, to become a paramedic.
That. Okay. So, are you familiar with, like, the Corman? And how does that compare? I know Corman can they give blood and all that kind of
Corman can actually do a lot more than a paramedic can, but they're restricted to the military.
Right.
And that's unfortunate. When they come out of the military, they should be able to just become a paramedic, and they're not able to do that. They have to take a whole class.
Well, that's interesting, because it's not just the corpsman, you know, coming to become a paramedic. It's in so many other different vocations too, that you've got to go through schooling after you've been doing this for 10 years, that you should just be able to take a test, to me, it seems like. What is the how many are we short paramedics in EMTs?
Yes,
is that a kind of a scarce quantity out there?
Especially during the height of the pandemic, yes. We're starting to see a resurgence of applicants. On the EMT side, we're still struggling with getting paramedics. We're only a couple short on our roster right now.
Mm-hmm.
But we're continuing to hire EMTs because we've also, you know, one of the things we've learned out of the pandemic is that we need to look at other options, and not every call that we respond on requires a paramedic ambulance. So in conjunction with our EMS agency that governs what we do, we were able to put on an ambulance with two EMTs on it to run the low acuity calls that come in.
And that would be like, I fell and I can't get up?
Yes, or, you know, toe pain or those types of things that we actually get calls for. And our EMS system, they triage those calls out. So they're called low priority or Alpha and Bravo calls.
Right.
So this ambulance responds to those, because those are calls that through this national standard that don't require a paramedic.
Right.
And we can save the paramedics for those more critical advanced calls, the heart attacks and strokes. And
on an average, how many calls a day do y'all get?
On average in our system, there's anywhere between 70 and 80 calls.
70 and 80 calls a day.
A day. And then that results in about 50 to 55 transports.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I had no idea what the numbers were on that. So how many ambulances do you have running a shift?
Within our system, it's the AMR Shasta Regional Ambulances, and then Dignity has their ambulances as well.
Right.
So on a good fully staffed day, we're operating anywhere from 14 to 16 ambulances in the system during the day. And those numbers go down at night because the volume's not there.
Oh, okay.
So
14 to 16 during the day,
mm-hmm.
two per ambulance.
Yes.
And then at night it goes down, so to what? Half?
About six.
Six?
Yes.
Okay.
And we're getting ready to add one of those basic life support units on to the night shift as well.
Okay. I'm with Mark Belden and Casey Thatch. Of course, Casey's the CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, and Mark is the operations guy over at AMR. And we've been just learning about paramedics, EMTs, the differences between them, how busy they are, what they can do, what you can expect when they show up. Okay, we got to take a quick break here. And this portion of the show is brought to you by our friends over at Cypress Square Barbershop. Cypress Square Barbershop, right off of Athens Avenue, is a better-known business. You know, it's one of those things that you keep doing business with the people that do a good job for you. And that's Cypress Square Barbershop, the only place I've had my hair cut here in Reading. And I see no reason to change that. And so they give great haircuts. They work by appointments only, so you're not hung up, unless you want to come in early and just chit-chat. They work by appointments. Give them a call at 244-9478. It's Man's Last Stronghold. It's right across the parking lot from Lucky Miller's. We'll be right back.
The Active 2030 Club of Reading is excited to announce that the 14th Annual Sundial Film Festival is happening May 21st in downtown Reading at Riverfront Playhouse. The Sundial Film Festival will entertain and inspire you with its showcase of the talent and diversity of North State filmmakers. There will be an afternoon showing at 2 and an evening showing at 7. Seating is limited, so get your ticket for the in-person screening at sundialfilmfestival.com. Tickets are $10 and help support the Active 2030 Club of Reading and their children's programs. Enjoy creative films and support your community by going to sundialfilmfestival.com.
Retirement may seem to be in the distant future, or it may suddenly arrive overnight. At Stifel Investments, we are committed to working closely with our clients. Planning tomorrow means understanding the challenges of today. Uncertain markets, rising costs, and longer lifespans. As a financial advisor of 25 years, I'm committed to helping my clients achieve retirement success. Let's get started today. This is Susan Eastman, Stifel Nicholas & Company, 244-7199.
Freshen up your home with spring decor from Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson, featuring antique lamps and lighting, desks and dressers, linens and love seats, and more. Memory Lane Antiques and Vintage at 1773 Highway 273 in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center in Anderson. Open Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday from 10 to 6. Sunday, noon to 5. Closed on Tuesdays. Call 530-365-1399. That's 530-365-1399.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Reading with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio. Welcome back to the show here. It's 8:36 in the morning and about 40 degrees out there, partly sunny, possibility of more rain today. Hey, the Reading Rodeo is coming. It's coming quickly. Next week, in fact, it begins this Friday with the street dance, and then we have the steak feed Saturday night. Then Monday they have the special needs kids out there on horses, and it's what a great event that is. And then, of course, the rodeo starts itself on Wednesday night. And then we have the parade on the 21st. Now, Asphalt Cowboys, they need more parade entries. They are in dire need of parade entries, in fact. I'm reading this off their press release. They're looking for business and commercial, civic and fraternal, junior and youth groups, mounted horse groups, vehicle groups, antique cars, fire engines, anything. They would like to have in our parade this year, again, like we always do. It's always free to enter. And they award plaques and trophies to the winning entries that are determined by judges. And this year's theme is Honky Tonk Bars and Rodeo Stars. So, that's going to be Saturday the 21st. And how you do this is you give, you either go to the website of asphaltcowboys.org or you give Dave Tappan a call at 515-3316. I just gave Dave's cell phone, so you can just call him at any time of the day or night, preferably after midnight and before 2. I'm just kidding. You can be a single entry or you can be a group. You can have AMR. You ought to have one of your ambulances. You should just give them a call and just because you can just go down there and they can wave at people. People yell and shout. And
I don't know if you remember Carl the show we did last May when they robbed the post office.
Oh yeah,
Carl and I are doing a show here and all of a sudden we hear these gunshots and we're like, what?
They go right by us and they're shooting up the place. And the dangerous part about that in Reading is half of Reading's
armed. Right. Yeah.
What they said was, well, you know, we have visitors here, and all of a sudden they hear gunshots, and they so now they escort them to police, so they know it's just not a bunch of crazy old guys in yellow shirts shooting up the place. Hey, we're here with Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional, and Mark Belden, who is the operations officer over at AMR. And we talked about the ambulances and everything they do there, how many of them are out there, what it takes to be an EMT, a paramedic, and how they are the first person and many times that get there. I also see fire engines rolling.
Yes.
Now, fire engines and ambulances rolling on the same thing?
Yes.
Does that happen?
It does.
Okay, and why is that?
It's because usually the acuity of the call, because we need the help. And the fire department, they usually have either their firefighters are either public safety first aid trained or their EMTs. And they can get there, and they're more strategically placed throughout the communities.
Mm-hmm.
So they can get there first and start that basic treatment that needs to get done before the ambulance gets there for transport.
Okay. And then you get there and take over from them and then transport.
Yes.
Okay. Do you all practice? I know that Casey does, but do you all practice for mass casualty?
Yes, we do.
Okay, and what kind of training is that?
Well, we just did one. We did a an exercise for if there was an organophosphate spill, and how we would treat that, and how we would triage those patients out and get them to medical care.
That's got to be lung problems and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right?
And then we also do annual tabletop trainings with the airports, and then a triannual drill with them, a physical drill.
I didn't bring up airports. I don't like to bring up airports on these things.
So we do a lot of mass casualty prep.
We do one thing a year together with AMR and the hospitals. Or we do a countywide incident. The county's pretty good here at coordinating.
It is.
Coordinating exercises like that, so we're prepared.
Good. Casey, let's go back to Shasta Regional.
Yeah.
Every month you bring in something new. And, of course, with the A rating that just came out today, that tells me that, you know, you're doing all the right things. It's not even a B rating, which is good. If I brought home a B, my parents were so happy.
In fact,
for a C, you know, I got hugged by my dad one time. But an A rating with all the things you're measured in.
Sure.
So what else you got going on over there?
Well, you know, I'm not sure if Dr. Southard's calling in today or not, but we just did our 100th TAVR procedure. That's the heart valve replacement.
When I do the live read about Shasta Regional, it's got to be probably every other one I talk about the TAVR valve replacement, and I tell people about this, and they're just people. A lot of people have heard about it, but they didn't realize we were doing it right here in town.
Yeah, well, and remember we sat down in 2018 and 19, and we looked at public data, and we looked at procedures that people were leaving the area for.
Yeah,
and that one really stood out, and up to maybe. We were seeing at that time 75, 80 people a year having to go down to UC Davis or Sacramento, which are, good programs. But, at the end of the day, we've got the skill set up here and we've got the medical staff up here and the training to do those procedures.
Can you explain what the TAVR valve replacement is?
Yeah. So if you have an aortic, if you have a, what they call aortic valve stenosis, and you have a doctor that's told you that you have a valve area of less than 1 centimeter, I think it's centimeter, millimeter, whatever, either one. But it you get symptomatic, you get short of breath, you get tired, and they've determined that your valve is your aortic valve is closing. The old way was to do a thoracotomy, which is just simply crack your chest open and replace the valve, and that was normal conventional heart surgery. But now we can just go through an artery in your leg and deploy what's known as a valve, and it's delivered through a stent mechanism, and it's maybe a 20-minute, 30-minute procedure. You're upstairs, pretty quick, and most people, 95% of the people go home the next day. But the thing about it is, though, which was interesting to me is how those programs are set up, and there's a significant amount of prep that goes into the identifying patients that are appropriate for this procedure ahead of time. You have to have a consultation with a cardiologist and a cardiac surgeon generally together to see if this is somebody that qualifies for this procedure. And they both have to agree under the Medicare rules that this patient does qualify for the procedure. And so, there's that goes on and then the post care. But everybody who's, people that have had them are just, this has just been the most amazing experience, and I didn't have to drive 3 hours each way to get it done.
I find it so. I know you talk about miracles of medicine and all that.
It's pretty impressive
that you can instead of having open heart surgery,
right,
and being in the hospital for several days, that you can literally be up walking around the same day and go home, and your life has changed dramatically for the good.
Well, and you have to remember, pre-stents and balloons and valves, if anybody came in, had a heart cath and needed some intervention, it was surgery. From about 1970, maybe 68 to 84, everybody was getting surgery. That was it. There was no other options. And then balloons started coming to the hospital, community hospitals, and then stents. And then this one, in my opinion, this one's been the biggest advancement since the balloon and the stent for the coronary arteries. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And they're working on other, systems to be able to do other valves in the heart, like the mitral valve and some of the other valves as well that need to be done. So, they definitely have to work on the cost, but, I think that's something that'll come down eventually once a lot more are done in the U.S.
Okay, we're here with Casey Fatch. We're just talking about the TAVR valve replacement of Shasta Regional Medical Center. Mark Belton, who is the operations officer over at AMR, our ambulance agency here in town. We got to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you, like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
Convert your calling into a career at Shasta College this summer. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our summer sessions offer flexible class times and formats with online and some in-person offerings. Plan a cool summer of hot classes by enrolling at Shasta College today. Summer session classes begin June 13th. Achieve more, earn more at ShastaCollege.edu. Enroll online today.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in the studios of KCNR. 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Thank you, Jared. I love it. Tomorrow on our show, we're going to have the Chamber of Commerce, but also Baron Browning will join us at 7 o'clock and talk about his run for the supervisor for the 5th District, for the Board of Supervisors. So he'll be here at 7, and Jake Mangus at 8. Today I've got with me is Casey Fatch, CEO of Shasta Regional Medical Center, who just made the announcement that it just came out this morning that they got another A rating from which organization?
It's called the Leapfrog Organization, and they've been around for a while. They didn't have a lot of importance until they came out with this current format of how they're reporting, because there was a lot of credibility issues. But now it's all publicly reported data. You can validate it, and they report some pretty meaningful criteria, like problems with surgery, infection rates, all that type of stuff. And I really encourage everybody listening to, you know, become a healthcare consumer. Actually, you know, go look at data. Go look at, you know, Hospital Compare is a good one to look at, and Leapfrog is going to look at, because it'll be really eye opening. To where you make your next choice.
It should be.
And it should be. And as a society, we've been really poor about becoming, we've always listened to our friends or even, quite frankly, our doctors, and never questioned and engaged in conversations about your choice. And it should be a choice. You should be making a joint decision with your physician. And then also look at that data and make sure that that's the right place you want to be.
Now, one of the things we talked about was the you're seeing people that are coming in that not being checked for certain things.
Yeah, we've had some real bizarre occurrences, which I've never seen in my career, and a lot of it has to do with the fact that people haven't been going in to get normal screenings because of COVID. But we've actually seen patients come in to the emergency room and require interventional procedures for carotid arteries, And then also, we've actually had two patients come in with the tight aortic valve area that we talked about requiring a TAVR and require TAVR procedures. And those always, I'm talking 90, almost 100% of the time are picked up on screenings. You know, and so that tells me that people are still not back with their primary care physicians and seeing the specialists for the screenings that would be indicated. So I just got to say again, guys, get out there, get with your docs and, you know, the high blood pressure stuff, the diabetes stuff, everything that needs to be managed still needs to be managed and it leads to real bad outcomes when it's not. And those outcomes are serious.
And that's just a normal screening when you see your
that's
doctor.
Right. Yeah,
just normal.
Absolutely.
So get back there
yeah.
and do that so it doesn't become
yeah,
an emergency.
Yeah, you know, because as time goes by, we all age, right? We were just talking about that.
Yeah.
And, you know.
One of my friends just came in and said, I've got this. And it's like, but it's not life-threatening. It just makes your life miserable.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Mark Belden, who is the operations officer of AMR, but you're also in charge of First Five?
Of Reach 5.
Reach 5, I'm
yep,
sorry.
They're an EMS helicopter based here in Reading, and actually have been here since 1992, and they fly all over the North State bringing patients into the Reading area because Reading is the hub for medical care. So bring a lot of patients in from the outlying hospitals into here, do a lot of scene work, so those accidents that happen out in the hills, and it would take a long time for an ambulance to transport them into the hospital, they're bringing them in. And then about just a little over a year ago, we added a fixed wing into the area so they can also assist with bringing patients in, but also helping get patients out if they do need to go to a higher level of care for services not available here.
Now, there's insurance for this.
Yes, there is membership available.
There's a membership available that costs you $50, I think, for a whole year.
Yes.
And that pays for your transport if you have to be picked up by a helicopter. Does it pay for the plane, too?
Yes, it does.
Now, if you don't have that insurance, you will probably get a bill into the thousands.
It's very expensive.
Very expensive. And I'm not advocating.
I'll just say, Carl, we have it for our employees.
Yeah. Okay.
We bought it. You
buy that for your employees?
We buy it. We pay for the card for employees because, you know, inevitably there's one or two a year, and it's a significant burden on somebody. It's not a shot against Reach. It's just, you know, you're operating a plane. You've got to have pilots. It's expensive to do. It's something that, you know, it's not a charity organization. It's an
right.
emergency response organization. And so that has to be funded. And so, but we did the math and we felt it was better to have our employees and families covered under this program. And it was a kind of a next step in our partnership with Reach and AMR. It was a real good thing for our employees and families.
Well, it is. Yeah. And, you know, it's enough after I talk to you about, because I see it. It comes across occasionally across my desk. Mm-hmm. And now I think it's not one of those things where you're going, well, if you have it, then you might have to use it. Well, you have it because you might have to use it.
Right.
And I knew one of the pilots that flew.
Well, and Mark told me they make great stocking stuffers, too. So
yes, they do.
For $50, you're covered for a year. There.
I think it's about 65 now.
Oh, is it 65 now? When I first saw it. But still, 65. And if you have to be airlifted out.
Well, and it's anywhere in the country, right?
Yes.
That's
for our AirMed Care Network.
That's
yes.
right. For
your AirMed. And if it's an emergent thing with a fixed wing, that also covers the ground portion.
So what about the North Slope of Alaska?
We have Guardian Flight up there.
So if you're in Nebraska and you drive off the road and you need to be airlifted out of there, you're covered. Even if it's a
provider within the AirMed Care Network.
Yeah.
Okay. But we have several locations throughout the United States.
Okay. Well, that's something to look into, my friends.
Yeah,
you know, God forbid you get in that type of accident. But my friend who was a pilot said he's gone right into the middle of a forest.
Oh, yeah.
And it's almost like a medevac. And he came straight down. They said, you can't make it. And he says, watch me. And
I used to fly back in the 90s and early 2000s, and we flew with a lot of Vietnam
pilots.
The Vietnam guys were, and they would often describe it as an LZ dust-off.
Yeah.
Of what we were doing. So. And the care providers on the helicopter, you know, we talked about a paramedic and an EMT on the ambulance.
Right.
Our helicopter and fixed wing have either two nurses or a nurse and a paramedic.
Okay.
So that extra higher level of care, being able to do more procedures, which is really nice if somebody needs to be brought in on a balloon pump or something like that for the heart, we can do that as well.
Okay. So. Casey, we've got a couple minutes left, so best thoughts here, buddy.
Well, let's see. What do we got? We're still working on our graduate medical education program for internal medicine.
Is that going to be?
It's going to be July 23. That's the date we're shooting for.
Okay, that's where you bring in the
residents. We'll have internal medicine residents. Now, granted, internal medicine doctors, again, the trick is to get them to come to Reading. And a lot of them move on to do specialty, you know, like GI or cardiology or whatever. But then the hope is maybe we get that one or two out of every class that decides to stay here and be primary care. But then also those other physicians that were here that did their residency here are oriented to the area and might come back as a cardiologist or a GI or a rheumatologist or whatever, which we desperately need. That's the only reason we're doing it. We're trying to get a pipeline of physicians to come back to.
Well, that'd be great if you could get a third of them, or half of them
exactly.
That decide they want to stay around here. God knows we're
short. Once you're exposed to the area, that's the big difference. It's because, you know, we'll get people that'll come out for maybe, and it's that one super hot day or that one day where, you know, it's like 45 degrees and windy and they don't get the best picture, but, you know, being here it took me 2 days, but that's just me. I'm a quick study.
You love it here.
I do. And by the way, this is my 4-year anniversary today.
Oh, is it? Now,
it is.
Most CEOs of hospitals are maybe 3 years.
Yeah, 2 to 3 is the turnover. Yeah. Four is up there.
But you like it here.
I love it here. Are you kidding me?
You love it here.
Yeah, that's a great place. Great place to live and work.
It is.
And work. And the community is just unbelievable.
Well, thanks so much for being with us today, Casey. As usual, you come in with a bunch of information that's good for our community. And Mark, it was nice having you here because I had all those questions. I'm sure other people do too. You know, we're laymen when it comes to, you know, if the guy's picking me up for some reason, you know, is he trained? You know,
right?
I've been picked up in ambulances before, and they seem to have done a good job. I've kind of like in and out. When
still here.
Yeah, still here. So
our folks do a good job. Yeah. They work really hard for what they do.
Great. Thank you very much. Okay. And tomorrow, everybody, just reminding you, Baron Browning will be in here at 7 o'clock and Jake Mangus at 8. Baron's running for a District 5 supervisor. Have a great day. Be safe out there. Do your homework. Look.
Annual Sundial Film Festival is happening May 21st in downtown Reading at Riverfront Playhouse. The Sundial Film Festival will entertain and inspire you with its showcase of the talent and diversity of North State filmmakers. There will be an afternoon showing at 2 and an evening showing at 7. Seating is limited, so get your ticket for the in-person screening at sundialfilmfestival.com. Tickets are $10 and help support the Active 2030 Club of Reading and their children's programs. Enjoy creative films and support your community by going to sundialfilmfestival.com.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.